Week 9, the conclusion of the series in the book of Daniel, we have called Uncompromised, Uncompromised. How to live a uncompromised life in a compromised world. And we've been going through a verse-by-verse study through the book of Daniel. And the central thought we have looked at is, how do we live godly when culture is so ungodly, right? And if you missed the series so far, what we have done is just gone through this very interesting book in a section of your book. It's found in a section of your book, of your Bible, called The Major Prophets. And it's in the section in the Old Testament where these prophets are all kind of compounded and compiled and together. And it's a time when this whole nation of Israel was in captivity in Babylon, and they were confronted with a new culture. And they wanted to live and serve God one way, but the culture was demanding something else of them. And we have been looking at important lessons along the way, kind of paralleling their story with ours. And I know that it's been hard, and we've worked through some hard things and challenged you in many ways. But let me be very honest, if I can be honest this morning, we need to know this stuff. We need to know these things, and these are coming our way. This stuff is coming. We are in the beginning of a cultural slide, and it's critical that you know how to live during that time period, and when all this happens, how will you respond? So the first six chapters of this book, the first half, were all kind of literal, the story of Daniel and his friends, and now we have descended in the second half of the book, which is a series of dreams and visions and prophecies that Daniel has, and Daniel saw into the future, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today, and what I want to start off is actually a verse not in the book of Daniel, but in the book of Matthew, where Jesus himself validates the book as a prophetic book. He basically says that the events that Daniel saw and some of the prophecies are still to come, and I just want I want you to see this, and if you love reading end time literature, read Matthew 24 in its entirety, and you'll get Jesus' explanation on how this kind of stuff ends up being. But let's start with this. Matthew 24, verse 3, he says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples, now watch him, came up to him and watch the question. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And that's the question that everybody wants to know, right? Let me just tell you up front, we're not going to know the answer to that one, right? We're not going to know the day or the hour because Jesus himself doesn't know the day or the hour. Only the Father in heaven knows how this thing is all going to play out. So what he's saying is stop putting all your energy, stop putting all your time into this end time stuff. But that is what a lot of people do, right? They want to have all these charts and they want to have all these studies and all these graphs. But there is a bigger question, a bigger picture here that we need to address. And look at the next question. When will this all happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the days? That's a much better question, to which Jesus says, hey, I can't tell you the exact time, but I can tell you the signs that will accompany that time. And then in the following verses, he goes into this long explanation of the list of signs. Now, what's interesting about the list of signs is that all of them have been fulfilled in different generations. So every generation thought that they were would see the return of Christ. Probably one of the greatest guesses would have been during World War II, right, where you have wars and the rumors of wars, that was obvious, but then you have a figure like Hitler, who everybody thought for sure he was the Antichrist. Well, obviously that didn't work out, and here's the reason why all these generations have these signs, but get this, check this out, the generations had all the signs all at the same time, and we are the first generation, and I'll show you where this is actually the case. You are the first generation where all the signs are simultaneously being fulfilled all at the same time. I'm just going to tell you what I believe about that, but I believe we are the end time generation. Not only are we at the end times, but we're at the end of the end times. And it's actually my personal belief that Jesus will return soon, and he can come back any minute, the return of Christ. But Jesus goes on to say later in this chapter that this is where we get the Daniel connection and the Daniel part. In verse 12 to 15, he says, because of the increase, watch this, of wickedness. So there will be this whole moral decay, and I think we're obviously seeing that right now. But this is the disheartening part of the next phrase. Because of the wickedness, the love of most will go cold. So it's going to be a whole generation, a whole bunch of people who were once loyal to Jesus, who once followed him, will get enamored, will get caught up in all this wickedness, and even we live in a generation now where we see that happening, where people who are Christians, who call themselves Christians, are saying okay and yes to some of the wickedness that's happening around. And the Lord says that that is a big problem, right? And then he says, but those that stand firm to the end will be saved. And then he says, here's another sign, and the gospel of the kingdom, so the gospel of Jesus, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. Now, the word there in the Greek is ethnos, so it doesn't necessarily mean geographical borders, right? It means people groups, even within nations. So like within the nation of China and India, there's like 100 different ethnic groups within that nation. And wherever those ethnic groups are, every one of them, which most missiologists think there's about 2,000 people groups in the world, about 177 nations, but about 2,000 different people groups or ethnicities. Once they hear the gospel, once they have a chance to respond, once they have churches and they get the word of God, then the end will come. And that's Jesus, right? That's the big climax that we've all been waiting for. And let me just say this to you. You are the first generation that has ever been able to say that. We are living in the generation where every ethnic group on the planet has a chance or is in the process of receiving the gospel. And here's why. It's because of digital technology. It's because of digital technology. You see, in the past, you could hardly get into some of these countries, and you had to smuggle in Bibles, and you had to send missionaries, and they had to use all these and be coy about it, and they would have some effect, and they would often meet in undergrounds and teach and try to build schools and Bible classes. But now you can just put a Bible class on your smartphone, right? And people in Africa have that Bible class right there on their phone, right there. It's a different generation, y'all. And now we're the first time in history where this is actually happening. I want to give you an example of it happening here in America. Last Saturday, if you guys are following at all the trends that are happening in Hollywood, Kanye West is on fire for Jesus. My goodness. Well, last Saturday, he sends out a tweet that he's going to be in Louisiana at some gathering. The next morning, thousands upon thousands of people descend. And within 12 hours of him sending out that tweet, 1,000 people get saved that next morning. That's just powerful, right? There's a unique movement and moment in time that we are living right now, and it's just fabulous. Then verse 16 says, so when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation. So let me explain that to you. This is the last sign I want to see highlighted for you. That's the holy place in Jerusalem, right? The temple in Jerusalem. When you see that quote, the abomination that causes desolation. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Let me explain it to you. That's actually a phrase right out of the book of Daniel. And I'll show it to you in just a moment. But the abomination that causes desolation is during the seven-year tribulation period at that time. And right in the middle of that, 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to put a statue of himself in the temple of Jerusalem, and it's called the Abomination of Desolation. And it's spoken of through the prophet Daniel. So Jesus was validating what Daniel saw and how these things were to come, and to let us know that some of these things are still yet to come, so they haven't been fulfilled. Then he says, let the reader understand. And let me just tell you, it's hard to understand, right? You go study the books individually on your own, and they are complicated, right? And then you go read the book of Revelation, and it is complicated, right? So here's my gift for you today. I'm going to make all that complicated stuff as simple as I possibly can. I'm going to try, as they say, to put the cookies from the top shelf to the bottom shelf so we can all kind of reach them. I'm going to try to do that for you. So the best I know how, we're going to summarize the last books of Daniel. We're even going to get into the book of Revelation. And here's my goal. I want to reduce them down. You go study it at home if you want more information, but I'm going to reduce it down to a few key things that I want us to understand, and I'm going to give you a few key takeaways for you to take home and to live this thing out, all right? Because here's my goal. Honestly, knowledge of this stuff is not that important. It really isn't, unless that knowledge changes your life in some way. And that's my goal, that there would be life change. So I'm going to help you with that. So here's how it'll go. We're going to get really technical here for a few minutes, kind of teachy, and then we'll get you some application. And trust me, if you get lost throughout this, I'll catch you up. We're all going to be on the same page, all right? So you guys ready? You still with me? Here we go. So there is one place in the book of Daniel where he summarizes all of the visions, and that's in Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. This is the way that he explains it. Now, this is what is called the backbone of biblical prophecy. So Daniel 29:24, he starts talking about 77s, right? Some of your translations may say 70 weeks, but the Hebrew word here in the original is actually not weeks. It's actually periods of seven. So that's the literal. So it could be a week, but it could be 7 days. It could be 7 years. It could be 7 months. It's just periods of seven. And we know that it's actually talking about 7 years. Because earlier in the context of chapter 9, we kind of can deduce that. So as Daniel is praying for the people, so Jeremiah prophesied that the people would be out of captivity in about 70 years. And now God is revealing something new to Daniel through this prophecy that also has to do with the number 7. So there are 70 sevens. If you do the math, that's 490 years. So he saw all of prophecy in 490 years. He saw 490 years of future events. Now, let me just say to you before you get ahead of me, most of these things that he already saw have already been fulfilled, all right? Then he kind of breaks down those 70 years into these three segments of 77s. And he says this, so there's going to be 77s are decreed for you people, for the Israelites, and your holy city to finish transgression. So here's the first one, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy of places. Which some of you are like, whoa, what is going on? Because he says, know and understand this. Well, we don't know and we don't understand this, but I'm going to help you with that, okay? So from the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. So watch this. There's going to be a rebuilding season, a rebuilding time for Jerusalem. Now, up until this point, he had no clue, Daniel did, that Jerusalem would actually be restored or rebuilt. And if you go look in the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra, that is plays out how those two things kind of unfold. And if you were to take the Bible in chronological order, Nehemiah and Ezra would be kind of the last two books of the Old Testament. So then they go back and they rebuild Jerusalem, and this kind of thing happens. King Cyrus, who was the fourth king that Daniel served, he was favorable to their cause, so he gives them permission and ability to go back, and they rebuild the period. And so he says, I see this whole thing unfolding. So know this in understanding. So they're going to rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes. Now, the anointed one, notice with me that it's capitalized, so he sees the Messiah, right? I see the anointed one, the ruler, the one who comes. And there will be seven sevens, which is 49 years. So he says, okay, I see this 49-year period, and then I see 62 sevens, all right? 62 sevens, if you do the math, it's 434 years. So he says, I see this 1 7 7 period, so 49 years. And guess how long, if you go study the history books, it's not just in your Bible, go study history. Guess how long it takes for Jerusalem to be rebuilt? Exactly 49 years. So Daniel saw it. He saw it all. And then from that moment, 62 times 7, the other sevens, it's 434 years. That's exactly to the date from the moment that Jesus were to give his life on the cross. It's just amazing. So 5 centuries before this event, God drew an X on the exact date that Jesus would appear as the long-awaited Son of David. So Jesus was going to fulfill those 6 objectives that we read, and he saw it all. And he says in the next verse that once it will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble, after 62 sevens, so after 434 years, the anointed one will be put to death. So he sees Jesus on the cross. Jesus is put to death, and he will have nothing. So he sees this whole thing unfold, and that God will be put to death. Jesus is going to go to the cross. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So after they rebuild, Jerusalem falls again, and you can read about that in history books. In AD 70, actually, the Romans come, and they just desecrate Jerusalem again. And the end will come like a flood. Now, this is not water. It's just talking about judgment that is to come. War will continue until the end, and the desolations have been decreed. Now, watch this. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. All right, so I'm going to catch you guys all up. Don't get scared. It's getting a little technical. So there's one period of seven sevens. That's 49 years. There's another period of 69 sevens or 62 sevens. And if you add those two things up, there's 69 sevens. Well, that leaves 1:7 that's unaccounted for, right? The missing seven, the final 7 weeks or the periods of seven. And that's the 70th week. And that's when war and desolation have been decreed. And he, this is the talking about the Antichrist now, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1:7. There it is, the missing seven, the last seven. And in the middle of that seven, so right in the middle, 3.5 years, he will put an end to sacrifice and to offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination. There he is. This is what Jesus was quoting. He's quoting Daniel here. The abomination that causes desolation. So the Antichrist will put a statue of himself in the temple. He's going to say, ha ha, just kidding. You guys thought I was about peace, and you guys thought I wanted to broker this peace deal between the Israelites and the Palestinians. It's not really my goal. He reveals himself who he is, and he starts oppressing the people. And that's the abomination that causes desolation until the end that is the creed is poured out on him. All right, you got that, everybody? And let's pray. Father, I'm just kidding. Not going to leave you there. But if you are taking notes, here's your chance, all right? If you want it deep, this is your Sunday, all right? This is it. Now, if I were to summarize the whole passage, so here's the notes. It's basically this. I'm going to give you some bullet points of what these all means. The first thing is that there are 70 years of prophecy, 77s, that's 490 years of prophecy that Daniel saw. All right, 483 of the 490 years, so 69 of the 70 years have already been fulfilled. So these are the four beasts that we talked about last week, and we saw Alexander the Great come to rise, and we saw the Roman Empire come up, and Daniel saw it all. Exactly how he projected it is exactly how it played out. And 49 years to rebuild the temple, so that's the first seven sevens he talked about. So 1:7 took 49 years to rebuild the temple. Then he talked about 62 sevens, and that's literally 434 years to date that was decreed where Jesus gave his life on the cross. So he sees all this history, all the rebuilding. He sees Jesus, and here's the summary of it all. There's one final seven, the last seven, the years of prophecy, yet to be fulfilled. And to me, that's the part that should be interesting to you and I. Jesus talked about it. Daniel talks about it. The Apostle Paul talks about it. Peter talks about it. And of course, the entire book of Revelation really centered around this last 7 years of tribulation. And that's the part I want to talk to you about today. All right. And again, not to complicate things, not to get too technical, but people look at the book of Revelation and they get really confused about it, and it's really complicated and they're overwhelming. But I'm a list guy. All right. I'm a list person, and I love to take the complicated and reduce it down to the simple. So I'm going to give you a list. We're going to just fly and do a quick tertiary overview of the book of Revelation, and we're going to just reduce it down to the very simple things. We'll see how all of this ties together. Hang with me, all right? So if you're going to take the book of Revelation and summarize it down, there are literally 10 events that happen, 10 events. So give me a few minutes to mention these 10 events. I'm going to show you where the seven-year period fits into these 10 events, and then I have a great conclusion to this series, all right? Y'all with me, everybody? All right, some of you are looking at me like, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into, right? Well, hang in there. We're going to have some fun. We're going to get through this, all right? So basically, the book of Revelation covers 10 events. The first is what the church, we call the church age, and that's Revelation 2 and 3. And if you love studying stuff, let me just say, read and live out these two chapters, right? Revelation 2 and 3, he said, this is a period before all this stuff begins. Jesus himself appears actually in Revelation chapter 1, and he says, hey, these are the things that I want my church to be focused on. In fact, I should probably bring a message on these 7 warning signs that he gives to the church, that Jesus gives himself. But you ought to just go and check it out for yourself. So that's number one. Number two, the rapture is going to happen, Revelation 4:1. Now, at some point, I believe, now listen, a lot of people disagree with me, and I'm okay with that. But at some point, I believe there's going to be a snatching away, a taking away of the church. There are some that say, no, that's not going to be a rapture. We're going to be here for all that. Christians are going to live through all this tribulation and all that time. That's fine. I just plan on being going up on the first elevator, all right? You knock yourself out. But what's interesting to me is I put Revelation 4:1 because that's the last time the church is actually mentioned, right? So you get church, 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 all up until that point, and then it's not mentioned again. Well, why? Because I believe that the church is not there. I believe that there will be a snatching away of the church. And by the way, if you don't believe that or agree that, that's cool, because the conclusions that we're going to draw at the end, no matter what your eschatology view, eschatology is just a fancy word that means what your end times view is. Pastor, thanks for breaking it down, but I lost you 10 minutes ago, right? It's all good. That's what eschatology believes. But anyways, there will be a rapture, all right? The third thing is the rise of the Antichrist. Right? The rise of the Antichrist, that rise, Revelation 6. And this is the part that Daniel saw, right? He saw a king or a person who would broker a deal with Israel and let them rebuild the temple, right? And he's going to look on the front end like, man, this guy's got it going on. This guy's really good. And to bring in modern perspective and modern world, what's happening, this Antichrist will come and he will broker a deal between the Israelites and between the Palestinians, and there will be peace. And of course, he doesn't want peace. He's just luring everybody in. And then you're going to have to take on his mark, and you're going to take the mark of the beast, and he's just going to deceive everybody. And right in the middle at that 3.5-year period, he's going to present who he really is, and then it'll be real bad for people, right? But there will be the rise of the Antichrist. And this is going to begin the signs of the deal. When the treaty is signed, right? And by the way, if you're around for the signing of that treaty, the rapture didn't happen or you missed it. So hang in there, okay? Hang in there because that's the big one. Oh, and by the way, let me just say, plans are already being made, like currently today, for the rebuilding of that temple. They even actually have the furniture. It's already done. It's just sitting in a warehouse. It just needs a final signature for approval. All the preliminary things are in place for this to happen. And once that treaty is signed, it's going to be the last 7 of the sevens, the missing 7 years. It's going to be, this is number 4, the 7-year tribulation period will dawn right after that. Notice with me about all the book of Revelation talks about this last 7 years, right? And this is where a bunch of people get bogged down. There's a lot of chapters and there's a lot of detail. It's pretty confusing, but let me just reduce it down to there will be 7 years of tribulation. And it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult. God is going to judge the earth, and there will be people that will get saved even in that season, but it's going to be very hard. It's going to be very difficult for Christians and, in fact, for all people. And it all ends with number 5, the second coming of Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody. Yeah, praise God. The Bible says that he is sitting there right now at the hand of the Father, and he is wanting to come get you, to come get me, the church. And I can only imagine, in my holy imagination, right? So let me just indulge for a second. Like, God, is this today? Can I go today? God, is it? Look, I got a horse right here. Let me just mount up. And God's like, all right, Jesus, mount up. Whoa, 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 whoa. Not yet. If I was like, whoa, 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 there's one more person that can be saved. Hang on, there's one more. Hang on, because the Bible says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise to return, but he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. So the only thing that's holding Jesus back is the Father's love for that one lost person. Isn't that cool, everybody? Yeah, that's cool. Then the sixth thing happens, and this is going to be awesome. The marriage supper of the Lamb, right? And the first thing, I love this. So he's going to put the Antichrist and Satan in the bottomless pit. And then I just love this. And then we going to party, everybody. Woo! We going to party, right? A party. It's going to be so cool. So the first thing that he wants to do with you is not put you in his choir, not give you wings, not make you a fat baby with harps and floating on clouds, right? That's a misnomer. You know what he wants to do? He wants to partake. Right? Not like it's 1999, like it's the end of the world, because it actually is, right? And that's what we're going to do. And check this out. There's going to be food. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we're going to have cabbage rolls and polenta. I mean, that may be just for the Romanians. I don't know. But there's going to be food. And a celebration. Why? Why? Because we're finally reunited with Jesus, right? We're his bride, and he's our bridegroom, and he can't wait for that day. And there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a fabulous event. That group over there is already planning for it. It's awesome. So here's the seventh one. There's going to be the millennium. This is going to be the millennial reign. This is what people don't understand. This is what is called the millennium. It's going to take 1,000 years for Christ to reign, and it's not going to be in heaven. Everybody, and that's what people don't understand. That's why a lot of people are like, man, I don't really want Jesus to come back because I kind of like it here on earth. Well, guess what? He's going to be with us here on earth. You're going to have King Jesus here with you on earth. And check it out. Satan doesn't exist anymore. There's not going to be any pain. There's not going to be any sickness. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be any more traffic on I-5. Come on, somebody. It's going to be awesome. And the best coffee we want, the best choice food, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be wonderful. This will be the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth. Then number 8, there'll be the rebellion. And for whatever reason, I don't quite understand it, but he's going to let Satan out again for a short time to one more time kind of test the earth. Most scholars believe that he's letting Satan out again so that he can tempt the people that were born during the millennium, whether or not they're going to choose Christ or not, or choose Jesus. That's what some believe, but there will be this final rebellion. Then it will end with this great white throne judgment. So that's number 9. Of which, if you're a Christian, you're not going to be part of. This is where everybody who's dead and in the grave and those that are still living who have rejected Jesus will stand, will basically have their day in court, and they will be judged before the Lord. And it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And then finally, it's going to be eternity. The last 2 chapters in the book of Revelation are all about the eternity, and that's where we're going to live forever. And again, a misnomer, we're not going to be in the clouds singing in the choir. No, it's not true. The Bible says that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. The Lord will remake the earth and produce it back to be just like the Garden of Eden, like this perfect that it was intended to be. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be fabulous. The lion and the lamb are going to sit together. Animals are going to lose their carnivorous instincts, and there will just be peace and love and joy, and you will get to enjoy mountains and rivers. And the last 2 chapters even talk about ethnic groups, right, that are still going to be in place. And some teach, you know, that we're going to be all made to look the same and be one, like Chinese people are going to look like people from Camas and Washougal, right? It's not going to happen, all right? He loves all the nations, right? Somebody once said, well, if they're going to be there, I'm not going to be there. And I said, yeah, you're right. You're right about that. You're not going to be there. All right, so don't plan on it. Because God loves all the people of all the world and all the nations, and he's going to be there with us, and it's just going to be fabulous. You're going to love it. So that's how it all kind of plays out. All right, I just reduced all the book of Daniel, all the book of Revelation to just a few minutes. And really, listen, it's fun to study this stuff. It's fun, and I get a kick out of it. But the value of all of this is, how does it change my life? How does this change my life? I don't think it matters that you have the most accurate graphs or stats or this. Or if it doesn't change your life, I don't think it's worth anything. I really don't. And I think we have to understand, all right, in light of all of this, how do I live? How then do I live? How do I do life, right? Well, chapter 12, we're going to finish out the last chapter in the book, and basically Daniel says, all right, I kind of understand some of this stuff I get, some of this stuff I don't get, but how does this apply to me? So let's read that chapter, and we're going to close. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects you, the people, will arise. So Michael is this archangel, and he is the one in charge of war and of answering prayer. So anytime you see his name in the Bible, that's one of two things that he's doing. He's either answering prayer or he's warring. And this great prince who protects everybody will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. So this is the last 7 years, that 7 years of the great tribulation. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, right? Now, notice with me that Daniel sees what is called the Lamb's Book of Life. That's when you get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus, your name is recorded in the book that's going to be opened before they let you into heaven. And he saw it all. And he says that all those will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. So this is the great white throne judgment that's going to happen. All those that are decayed, all those that are dead will come. And some will go to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise. Now watch this. This is what I want to appeal to you today. He says, I need a generation that's smart. I need a generation that's figured it out, that didn't just study it, that didn't just look at the graph and the standpoint of the graph and try to figure it out, but I need some wise people, right? Knowledge is understanding, right? Wisdom is the ability to put that understanding into practice. I need some wise people who will do what? Who will shine like the brightness of the heavens, right? Let your light shine in the darkness. Go into the world. In other words, I need a group of people who get it, who see it, who understand it, and they need to live their lives in the middle of it. And what are they to do? They're to shine their light. They're to be bright, the brightness that brings light to the earth. And those who do that will lead many to righteousness. I need a generation who gets it, who shines, and is here. Here's what they do. They lead many to righteousness, right? And that's what I love. That's why I keep pushing our church to have a missional nature to it, because we don't just exist here as a church for you guys, for people to come on Sunday and to just hang out, right? No, we exist for people who are not yet here, and we're going to do everything we can short of sin to reach as many people for the kingdom, right? And I encourage you to come tonight to the family meeting. We're going to talk about all those big God-sized dreams that we have for 2020 and this next chapter in Journey's future. But we want to leverage as much as we can for as many people as we can, because we need a generation that shines bright and leads others to righteousness. Amen. Like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up the seal. Seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Now, here's an interesting thing that he just throws right there at the end. One more final thing. He says, one more final sign. He says, but many will go here and there, and there will be increase in knowledge. So the end times are going to be marked by knowledge, increase in knowledge, and by travel. I just want to point that out to you. All the signs are there, but these are just two more of them. Here are two more that are unique to this generation, right? About 150 years ago, you couldn't travel more than about 20 to 30 miles from place to place, right? You would either do it by horse, or you would do it by wagon, or you would do it by walking. So that's why if you go through these big cities, you have a town every 20 to 30 miles, right? Because you needed to stop and you needed to rest. But right now, we live in such a generation where right after this service, if you guys boo me out, right, I'll get on a plane. Oh, you didn't catch that. All right, I'll get on a plane, and in 15 hours, I can be in Shanghai. Just like that, in 15 hours. So travel is just amazing, right? And he says that there will be also an increase in knowledge, an increase in knowledge. Now, I came across this week. It's rather interesting. Scientists say, check this out, that we didn't even double all that we knew, all that humanity knew, until about 200 years ago. So from all of time until about 200 years ago, knowledge had doubled. They say that it doubled again 50 years later, and then again 30 years after that. But today, they say that knowledge doubles every 18 to 24 months. So we will know two times as much that we know 2 years from now than when we do know right now. We're living in the end generation, I'm telling you. Here's what he says. I love what Daniel picks up in verse 8 and finishes out. He says, I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant, right? Come on, that's just my verse, right? That's me, right? And that's for all you men in the room, right? I heard what my spouse said, but I didn't understand what she meant, right? All right. So I asked, all right, so he asks, how will this all end, my Lord? How will this all end? But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I've said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. So there's still some secret and some things that we don't quite understand. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. So one more statistic that I want to give to you, which is just amazing. There is just an outpouring of the Word of God. From the time of Jesus to about 2003, they estimate the number of people that got saved, that received Jesus. There have been more people from 2003 to 2013 that have received Jesus than previous years from Jesus all the way to 2003. That is amazing. We are the generation of harvest, and God is shifting and God is moving. I'm telling you, the end times are upon us. We are living the end of the end. All right, so, but wickedness is rising. Many will be purified, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. In fact, Peter goes on to say that we're going to be tried, that we're going to be persecuted, that you will be mocked, and you're either going to be ready for it or you're not. There will be wickedness increasing, and they don't understand. And so they're going to scoff you, and they're going to mock you. And here's what I want to bring to your attention. Only those who are wise will know what it means. And that's what I'm appealing to you today, this morning, to be wise children. And I want to reduce it down to three things that I want you to see. So I'm going to give you some wisdom, all right? But you go read this on your own. Matthew 24, that's Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, that's the Apostle Paul talking about these things. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, that's Peter talking about these end times. And there are three places in the New Testament that all talk about the end times. And all of them come up with the same conclusion. In other words, this is the same conclusions that they all agree upon. So regardless of what your eschatological view is, whether you're a historic premillennialist like me, or maybe you're a panmillennialist. Have you ever heard of a panmillennialist, right? It'll all just pan out in the end, right? That's perfect. You may be them, but whatever your view is, you're going to need wisdom, right? We're going to need to be wise in three ways. Here it is, one final verse, 2 Peter 3:10-12, if you can go back. Thank you. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So in other words, we don't know when it's coming, so stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to get all these graphs and all these charts and pinpoint. We're not going to know. And the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So this is where God pours out his judgment on the earth for all the end time, the tribulation. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, here's the question that we should be asking. What kind of people ought you to be? What kind of people should I be? What kind of person should I live? And here's what he says. You ought to live holy. You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. And watch this. Speed, it's coming. We can speed its coming. And I just was amazed as I was dwelling on that just this week in my study that, wow, did you know that we play a role in the speeding up of Christ's return, right? Because remember what Daniel said? He said that we're going to shine like the brightness of the stars. And I want to be a church that wants to do that, right? That we're assisting in the return of Christ. So we're going to shine our light. We're going to be bright for the kingdom. We're going to lead people to righteousness. We're going to try to get as many people to hear the good news of Jesus as possible. And how are we going to do it? We're going to live holy. We're going to live uncompromised lives, right? Now listen, living holy doesn't mean living perfect, right? It just means living different, living unique, living set apart differently than what the world and the society would have you believe or would teach you. So we're going to live differently than all the wickedness that is to come. And I want to summarize that in three takeaways, all right? Here's 2 minutes and then we're done. I'm going to call the worship team forward. Number one, we're going to follow God, not culture. So this is for you practical people who want to write down some takeaways. Follow God, not culture. Culture changes, God doesn't, everybody. Yeah. And guess what? Hey, everybody, look at me. Culture will continue to change. And it's going to continue to just slip and slide. And the question of the day for us is, are you going to change with it? And if you change with it, you're not part of the wise. You're not part of the wise. You're not. You're just part of a group that got doped, that got enamored, that got confused with all this stuff. So let the word of God be your standard on how you're going to live life and follow God, not the world. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure I understand all the word of God. I'm not sure I believe it all. Well, don't worry about that. Just follow Jesus, right? Just trust in him. Trust in God. Do not follow culture. All right. Number two, be ready for Christ's return. He's coming back. Be ready for Christ's return. Because I believe we are in the generation that is seeing the greatest fulfillment of all the signs all at the same time. And it's going to be like a thief in the night. He's going to come when you don't know. And so you need to be ready. When Jesus talks about this whole list and he gives all the signs in Matthew 24, here's kind of one verse that he ends with. He says, therefore, keep watch. Right? Be ready, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Some of us, if we're honest this morning, we're not ready. And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is ministering to our hearts even now to some of us. Because some of us, if we're honest, we have been enamored with the world. We have kind of let the world dictate how we're going to do life. We have followed the patterns and the ways of the world, and we have kind of turned our back, maybe even ignored the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the promptings of God. Well, today would be a great day to get yourself ready for the return of Christ. There is a great wedding that is going to be happening, and you better be ready for it, because you're all invited, let me tell you, but it depends on you if you're going to be let in or not. And the last thing is that Daniel saw it, Paul saw it, Jesus saw it. The book of Revelation talks about the role that would reach and lead many to righteousness. We are going to shine brightly and many will come. And there's a big generation that are there already. And I'm just praying that we would be this type of church, that we're going to make the most of this life. We're going to make the most of this life for Christ. Make the most of the time that we have. Listen, we are the last generation, the greatest generation, all of us. And I want to invite the worship team forward, but I want to pastor you just for 1 second. I'm going to pastor you just for 1 second, all right? Listen closely. This life for us is awesome. It really is. We live in the greatest country on earth. Yeah, many of us after this, we're going to go eat lunch somewhere. We're in an air-conditioned building. We have Starbucks on every corner. We have Whole Foods on every corner. We eat granola and all that stuff, right? It's the best generation. But check it out. We are blessed. We truly are. We're blessed. But check it out. This life is not about this life, right? The fact that you have those things are all bonuses. It's really, the fact is that God is so good and he's a good life, good God. But it's not about this life. It's about that life, right? This life is all about making the biggest difference you can for that life, because that's where we're going to spend a majority of our life, right? In fact, the rest of eternity is going to be there. So do whatever it takes, whatever you can, to get as many people with you to that life, because that's life, right? Make the most of the opportunity God has given you, because God strategically placed you, God strategically placed me in this generation, in this season, for such a time as this.